And we're holding on Pei Aleph, Amud Aleph, the sixth line. Mishnah had said, Ha'oichov ha'shoisa ein mitzdaifin, that if a person eats and drinks on Yom Kippur, then they don't combine together. I mean, we said the amount a person is chayav for eating on Yom Kippur is a keseves, a gasa, the size of a large date. The size, the amount of drinking that a person is chayav is maloy lugma, a cheekful. So if a person, let's say, eats half a keseves of food and drinks half a cheekful of liquid, then it's not going to combine. So the Gemara says, Mantana. Who is the Tana that says that? That even though the Isser is the same, but since the Shear is different, then they don't combine together. So Rav Chista says, you should know, this is not agreed to by everybody. This is actually a subject of a Machloikas, and the opinion in our Mishnah represents the opinion of Rabbi Yeshua. The Tanan, as we learn in a Mishnah, Klal Amar Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yehuda said, Rabbi Yeshua said a general rule as far as things combining together. Kol shetum osev shira mitzvah shava. When you have two things that are metame, now we're using tumah as a basis to learn as far as isurim. We're going to see soon that Rabbi Yochanan disagrees with this. But Rav Chista says that we can learn from one to the other, and therefore, since by tumah we see, Rabbi Yeshua says, if you have two things where the tumah, the degree of tumah and the amount of time it lasts is the same, and the shear is the same, mitstanef, then they combine together. So let's say, for example, a kazayis of a nevela, for example, or rather a kazayis of a nevela of an animal, or a kazayis of flesh from a dead person, etc., as metame. So let's say, for example, you have two half kazesim from two different mesim, then those are going to combine together to make one full kazayis, and the person's going to become tome, b'maga, b'masa, b'oil, whatever. On the other hand, but if the degree of tumah is the same, but the shear is not the same, for example, sheretz and a nevela, both of them, a person touches or carries a sheretz or a nevela, he becomes tame to the same degree, but a sheretz, you need only a lentil size piece, a nevela of an animal, you need a kezias, therefore a half of one and a half of the other don't combine, or if you have two things where the shear is the same, but the degree of tumor, or the length of time the tumor lasts, is different, for example, a mess and a nevela, both of them, the shear is a kezias, but a human mess is metame, a person for 7 days, and a kezias of an avela is metame, a person only for that day. So that's shiurei v'loi tumasei, or loi tumasei v'loi shiurei, or where neither the tumah nor the shear is the same. For example, a nevela and a sheretz, a mess and a sheretz, where one of the mess is the kezias, the sheretz is the size of a lentil, and the mess is metame for 7 days, and the lentil and then the sheretz is metame only for a day. So in those cases, ein mitzdaifin, Rabbi Yeshua says they don't combine together. So by the same token over here, even though the issur of eating and drinking on Yom Kippur is the same, as in fact we're going to talk about in the next Mishnah, nevertheless, the shear is different, and therefore, according to Rabbi Yeshua, they can't combine. Rav Nachman says, you could even say that our Mishnah goes according to the Chachamim, because ad kan lekamer abanon hasam. You know why the Chachamim are saying over there it doesn't combine el inyan tuma, only as far as the dinim of tuma. The shame tuma chadhi, because after all, tuma, they figure tuma is tuma. The person is tomei regardless. So who cares whether it's a different shear or a different amount of time? Aval hacha, but over here, we can't say that food and drink would combine even according to the Chachamim. Mishum yisuvei daitahu. The reason why the Chachamim are going to say they don't combine is because the whole point of not eating a certain amount or not drinking a certain amount on Yom Kippur is because then the person is going to feel better, his mind is going to be set at ease, and he's not going to have the affliction of Yom Kippur so much. Well then, v'hai lemi yasva daitahu. In this case, if a person eats half the shear and drinks half the shear, that's not enough to calm him down. That's not enough to take the edge off his hunger and make him feel not fasting. So even the Chachamim might agree that's fine. Well, not that it's fine, but that he's not chayiv kores or a chatas for it. Okay, so the same machlokas that we have between Rav Chista and Rav Nachman in Babel, we have the same thing in Eretz Yisrael. V'chein Omer Rish Lakish machlokas Shnuya Rabbi Yeshua. He Rish Lakish said the same thing that the machlokas and our Mishnah goes according to Rabbi Yeshua. The Tanan Kol Omer Rabbi Yeshua Cholo, based on that Mishnah in Meila that we quoted. Rabbi Yechanan Afilu Tamei Rabbanon. Rabbi Yechanan says the same as Rav Nachman. Even the Chachamim might agree that he's not over. Ad kam lekam Rabbanon Hasim Elulin in Tumah. The Chachamim they're only talking about as far as Tumah. Aval Chacham Mishum Yisur V'Daiterhu. Here it's because his mind is not at ease. Because his mind needs to be at ease for him to be over on the Isur of Yom Kippur. V'Hai Lokam Yas V'Daiter. And over here, when he eats half the shear and drinks half the shear, he's not feeling that Yishuv Adas. And therefore, even the Chachamim would agree that it's one thing about Tuma and Tara. He's Tomei regardless, but over here, it's a matter of we need, it's the effect, that the psychological effect that it has on him, and a half of one and a half of the other don't have that psychological effect. Okay. The Mishnah says, Ocho v'shosa behelam echad, if a person ate and drank on Yom Kippur all within one period of helam, so he didn't know that it was Yom Kippur.
So the halacha is not the
Chachamim. So now when he remembers, then he's only going to have to put in one chatas. Because even though eating and drinking are separate activities, we learn them all. We learn them all from one pasuk. We learned the other day how b'chlal we know that drinking is included in eating. We started by learning it from Maaseh Sheni, where it talks about Begon Chaturo Shavitzarecha, and we went through a whole thing over there about how exactly we learn it. We have a Gzeira Shava on the word Sheikhar, etc., etc. The point is that we established that eating and drinking are all learned from the same thing, and therefore it's all considered one inuy. And if he was over on it, so obviously if it was B'shtei HaLemus, if it was two different, if he forgot that it was Yom Kippur, eight. Then remembered, then forgot again, ate again, or drank again, whatever. And remembered, then for sure he's bringing two chatois because the fact that he had a yedia, a knowledge that of the issue in between, breaks them up and makes each one chayv a separate chatas. But here, where it was all behelam echad, there was no remembering in between, then he's chayv only one chatas. On the other hand, ochav also malacha chayiv shnei chatois. But if he eats and does malacha, then he's going to be in one helam. Then he's going to require two chatois because those are considered two different. Those are two different isurim. Eating, we learn from, as we're going to say in the Gemara, where exactly we learn that there's a lav not to eat. And malacha, it says b'chol malacha leisasu. So it's separate lavim, no different than, for example, the same way as if a person did as if a person, for example, let's say broke Shabbos and ate chaylev. Or behelam echad, he's still bringing two chatois, so it would be the same over here. Continues the Mishnah. Ochal oichlin she'enin ru'uyin la'achila. If he ate things that are not edible, v'shasa mashkin she'enin ru'uyin l'shtia, or he drank liquids that are not drinkable, that are not meant to drink. For example, v'shasa sir or murias. For example, he drank sir or murias. Sir and muyas are various kinds of fish juices. There's several different possibilities in the Rishonim, what exactly the difference is between them. Rashi in one place explains that sir means the juice that you press out of salted fish, and muyas is the same thing, but it has fish guts or fish eggs mixed into it. There's a few other possibilities as well. Most of them say that muyas has more of the fish in it than sir, which is just an exudation. Anyway, the point is, those kinds of things, you normally, now unlike we said mashkin chain and ruin l'shia, would mean something which is b'chlal, not edible. Here we're talking about sir and muyas themselves are edible. People would dip food in them, but nobody drinks them by themselves. Therefore, potter. So therefore he's potter because you can't say that he was over on the inui, on the affliction of Yom Kippur by drinking them, because those are not the kind of things that take the edge off a person's appetite and make him feel like he ate something. So therefore, it's also for him to do, but he's potter if he does it. Okay. So the Gemara says, Omer Rish Lakish. Now, we're saying in the Mishnah over here, we're talking about that he has to be chayav achatas for eating and drinking, and we say he's only chayav achatas for one, but in other words, there has to be one lav for eating and drinking. But where exactly do we have that lav? Where does the Torah say, all this time, we've been talking since the beginning of the Perek about the fact that the Torah says, V'inisim es nafshaseichem. But that's an essay. Where exactly does it say that there's a lav not to eat on Yom Kippur? So mipnei ma le'nemra azhara be'inui. Why does the Torah not say explicitly that you should not eat on Yom Kippur? Why instead does it say it kind of in a roundabout way? It says an esser that you should afflict yourselves, and we have to figure. And it says kares if a person eats, but it doesn't explicitly say in so many words do not eat on Yom Kippur. So why not? So he says mishum delo efshir, because it would be impossible to phrase it in a way that would be unequivocally that you shouldn't eat. Because heichin nichtiv, because Rish Lakish says how would we think that the pasuk should write it? Nichtiv rachmana lo yoichal, we would start with the obvious, let the Torah say don't eat on Yom Kippur. The problem with that is achila b'kazayis. We know all over the Torah when it says eating, it means a kazayis, as we talked about yesterday. Only over here by Yom Kippur, precisely because it doesn't use the word achila, is where we learn that it's a kaseves. So if it had said, don't eat on Yom Kippur, then we would have thought that eating is a kaseves just like everywhere else. We would have no idea of the concept of kaseves agasa. So therefore, the Torah can't write, don't eat. Nichtav rachmana loy se'una, loy se'una. Should we say the Torah should write the words loy se'una? Do not afflict yourself. Well, just the opposite. On the contrary, that means get up and eat. Now, it is true, in other words, that you could conceivably have, sometimes you have a shodesh in Lashon Kodesh that means one thing and its opposite. A classic example of it, for example, is the shodesh itself, the root word shodesh, which can mean to make something be rooted in the ground, and it can also mean to uproot it. So the same thing over here, fine. It could be that sa'una can mean to afflict yourself. It can also mean to fail to afflict yourself. And therefore, lo sa'una would mean that. Don't fail to afflict yourself. But we could easily misunderstand it and think that sa'una means in the sense of actually afflicting yourself, not to fail to do that. And lo sa'una would mean don't afflict yourself. So then kumachel mashma, then it would mean go and eat. So therefore, the Torah couldn't have written it that way. So therefore, because of that, says Rish Lakish, there's no way the Torah could have written in so many words, don't eat on Yom Kippur, and instead, therefore, as we're going to say further, we're learning it from an implication of a pasuk. So, maskeflar of Hoshia, nichte rachmana hishomer pen loisa'una, so the Hoshia says, why? There's still a way around it. The Torah could have written, beware, pen, lest loisa'una, you do not fail to be afflicted. Guard yourself, pen lest loy sa'una, that you're not afflicted. So why didn't it write it that way? The answer is you can't. Became nefishi luhu lavi, because then you could say that each hishomer is considered a lav, pen is considered a lav, and loy would be a lav. So then you'd have three lavim on it, and we could say that Hashem didn't want to impose three lavim on this, just one. Okay, Marsha asks. In that case, it could have said hishomer l'shaloy sa'una, pen loy sa'una. Why is the Gemara assuming that it would have had to say all of them? But okay, even with Hishomer Loi, you'd still have two, and Hishomer Pen, you'd also have two. So it couldn't have written it that way, because then you'd have more than one lav. Maski Flora Bibi Ba'abaya, so the Bibi Ba'abaya asks again a further question. And by the way, whenever we have the name of the Samoda in the Gemara, the Shalach Kodesh always says, not always, whatever, he mentions it in one place, and we can mention it each time, that he says the name is not supposed to be pronounced Bivi, but rather Bevi, which is the name of a person mentioned in the name of a family descended from him, mentioned in Sefer Ezra. Anyway, so the Bibi or a Bevi Barabaya says, why? I have a way that the Torah could have written, and we would have said, and it's a clear lab. The Torah could have said to us, guard yourself regarding the mitzvah of Inui. And the word hishomer would mean guard yourself. That would mean to not, that would mean don't do that, because we know that hishomer constitutes a loisese. So therefore, there's a loisese. The problem is, imkeni hishomer de lav lav, hishomer de esse. The problem is that wouldn't work either. When you have hishomer in connection with a lav, then yes, it means a lav. For example, Rashi brings the example. When it says hishomer benegatzaras, it means that the Torah is telling us a lav, be careful with the lav of negatzaras, that you don't cut off the tzaras or cut off the simonim that make it definitive tzaras, like the hairs or whatever. On the other hand, hishomer de esse. On the other hand, when it says the word hishomer in connection with a mitzvah saseh, for example, when it says about Pesach and Tefillin v'shamarta as a chok azois, then it means it's an esse. So therefore, it couldn't have said he shomer the mitzvahs inui, because then we'd say mitzvahs inui is an eser, the nisimus nafshe seichem, and he shomer, therefore on it would be to reinforce that eser. Tosfos points out that Rabbi Yochanan actually in a different Gemara learns not like that, but that here we're talking according to Rish Lakish. The sugya over here began with Rish Lakish saying that the Torah couldn't have had any other way to write it, and Rish Lakish disagrees with Rabbi Yochanan over there and says what we just said, that when he says he's shomer with an essay, that it means an essay. So therefore, so it couldn't have said it that way either. Maskiflot of Asi, but Rav Ashi says, I still have a question about that. Nichtiv al toser mino inui. Why couldn't the Torah have phrased it, don't remove yourself from inui? And that would be a clear lab that you have to do, that would be a clear lab. Do not eat on Yom Kippur. Do not fail to experience inui. So one says kasha. That's a kasha. It's not as usual. It's not a tiyuvta. It's a kasha. And one thing is, Mefoshim said, because that would be a very awkward way of saying it. Yes, in theory, the Torah could have said that, but it's a very awkward way of phrasing it, and therefore it wouldn't have done that. Okay. So far, we're saying that there's no actual pasuk that says the lav. However, we do agree that there's a lav. We know that because the Torah says there's a chiyuv kares for a person who eats on Yom Kippur, and the Mishnah at the beginning of Chrisus lays down a rule for us that everything that's chayav kares is a lav, with the exception of the Korban Pesach and Milah. So since this isn't one of those exceptions, then it means it must be a lav, but it doesn't actually say it in the pasuk, because as Rish Lakish is saying, there's no easy way to express that point. So the Gemara continues, V'tana maisi lo mehocha. Now instead, a Tana of a Braisa learns it from the following source. Now usually what we have is, the expression V'tana lo maisi lo mehocha usually means, you had one Tana or one Amora that learned the source of a certain mitzvah or a certain isur or a certain din or whatever from a certain pasuk. And then the Gemara mentions that there's a Tana that brings it from a different pasuk. Here it's a little bit different. Here Rish Lakish did not actually bring any pasuk for the lav. He just left it that the Torah didn't tell us an explicit lav, but nevertheless it is considered one. Now the Tana is going to show us the source in the Torah that there is an actual lav. Namely, the pasuk says, "V'inisimus nafshaseichem, you should afflict your souls on Yom Kippur, v'chol malacha lo isasu, and you should not do any malacha." But there's a couple of different psukim that phrase this somewhat similarly. One of them says, "V'inisimus nafshaseichem, kol malacha lo isasu," without the vav. Another one is the Nisimus Nafshaseichem, and then the next pasuk continues, V'chol malacha lo isasu, whatever. The point is that there is Ta'anuus Nafshaseichem, V'chol malacha lo isasu, whatever. There's a couple of different gersos what the pasuk is that it should say over here, but the point is there is a pasuk that puts together, that makes a hekesh between the inui and the isur of malacha. Therefore, so now let's figure it like this. The Braisa says, Yocho Yehi Onush al Tosfos Malacha. Now we know, as we're going to discuss soon, that there is a mitzvah of Lahoisif Mechoyla Lakodesh, that you don't begin Yom Kippur and its various inuyim immediately at Shkia. You begin it a little bit earlier. So you would think that a person should be Chayav Kares for doing Malacha during that time of Tosfos. No, the pasuk says any person that does malacha on this actual day, meaning al itzuri shayyim onish kodesh. So only during the actual day is a person chayav kodesh, but in onish kodesh al tosis malacha. But if he does malacha during the extra time added at the beginning of Yom Kippur, then he's not chayav kodesh. Now you would think, what about the inui? What if he wasn't ma'ane himself doing tosfos? So in other words, he was eating and drinking right up until shkia. And by the way, actually before, when we said when Rav Ashi had asked, I'll toss him in an inui, and we said that why didn't the Torah phrase it that way? It's not just that it's awkward. One of the Mephoshim also points out, if it said I'll toss him in an inui, then it might mean that when Yom Kippur comes in, you already have to be feeling afflicted, and that's not so, because you can be eating the Sodom of Sekas until a few minutes. Fine, you need toast for Yom Kippur, and then the post can talk about exactly how long that has to be, but it doesn't have to be more than about three quarters of a meal, which is about 13 or 15 minutes. So conceivably, you could have that a person ate a huge sodam apsekis. 15 minutes later or whatever, they're still feeling very full from it. They don't yet feel the inui of a giver. And there's no problem with that. If it had said, I'll toss him in an inui, then you would think that you have to stop a long time before in order that by the time Yom Kippur starts, you really do feel inui. So now, getting back to all Gemara over here, so you would think the same thing then, that if a person, during the time of the Tosfos, during that extra 15 minutes or whatever, that if he eats during that time, maybe he's chayav kares. No, the pasuk says any soul that does not afflict itself on the essence of this day, then it'll get kares. So again, we learn from that only for the actual day of Yom Kippur, if he eats on it, is he chayev kares? He's not chayev kares for failing to do inui during that extra time before bein hashmashos, before shkia.
Does that apply to Shabbos?
So there is a mitzvah of Tosfos as far as Shabbos. We're going to talk about that soon in the Gemara. We're going to talk about that on Amud Beis. But of course, with Shabbos, you don't have Inui. But yes, there is a mitzvah of Tosfos when it comes to Shabbos and Yom Tov and Yom Kippur. And in fact,
But if you light candles 18 minutes before, if you're going to carry during these 18 minutes after you lit candles, are you chayev or you're not chayev?
You're not chayev, we're saying, but so we're saying that just like if a person does malacha during Tosfos Yom Kippurim, he's not chayev. But pashtus, it would be the same thing over there. It's still also to do though. If he accepted Shabbos on himself, now what you can do is when you light, you can have in mind that you're not yet accepting Shabbos. Bechlal, by the way, when a woman lights Shabbos or Yom Tov candles, usually the assumption is that she's accepting Shabbos with that. When a man lights, the assumption is usually that he's not accepting Shabbos with that. Rather, he only accepts it later when it comes time, when it comes Shkia, or when he says Mizmor Shu L'Yom HaShabbos. So after a person accepted on themselves Tosfos Shabbos or Tosfos Yom Kippurim, it's true that they're not allowed to eat or to do malacha. Nevertheless, though, if they did, then the Braisa is saying over here they're not chayav kares for that.
What are they chayav?
They're not necessarily chayav anything, but it's still also to do. Not everything that's also to do is a person chayav for. In fact, we're going to continue now in the Gemara. We're going to say there's not even a lav in that case during Tosfos Shabbos or Tosfos Yom Kippurim. But even without the lav, there is a mitzvah saseh to add that Tosfos. If nothing else, he's violating that mitzvah saseh. So continues the Braisa. So now you would think that okay, there's no punishment for doing malacha during that extra time. Maybe at least there's a lav on it if he didn't add mechol al kodesh team kippur. No, tamad lema v'chol malacha lo sasu be'etzem ayim hazeh. Therefore, it's not just a matter of kodesh. Before we quoted b'chol nefesh hashatasekom malacha be'etzem ayim hazeh v'ha'avadti, that any person who does malacha be'etzem ayim hazeh, then Hashem says I will destroy them, meaning they're going to be chayiv kares. Now we have as far as the law itself, where it says b'chol malacha lo'isaso be'etzem ayim hazeh, don't do malacha on this very day. Again, alitzum esho yom humuzer, the law to not do malacha applies only to the actual day of Yom Kippur. Ve'ein emozer al Tosfos malacha. There's no iser on Tosfos malacha during the Tosfos bein hashmashos, or not bein hashmashos. Actually, the Tosfos Arosh points out we can't say that the Tosfos itself should consist of bein hashmashos. Can't be. Bein hashmashos itself is already a suffix, whether it belongs to the next day. You're not allowed to do malacha there me'ikir adin. So the Tosfos would be before that, would be sometime before that, 13 or 15 or 18 or whatever minutes before Shkia. By the way, as far as Shabbos candles, worth mentioning, you know, you were mentioning a minute ago about lighting Shabbos candles 18 minutes early. You should know, actually, the Sefer Yireim learns that, in fact, Bein HaShmoshes, he learns, begins before Shkia. And that is that's a reason why in most places they light candles at least they light candles 18 minutes before Shkia, because according to the Sefer Yireim, that is when Bein HaShmoshes begins. The mainstream accepted opinion is not like that. The mainstream opinion of Poskim is Bein HaShmoshes begins only sometime after Shkia. But nevertheless, in deference to the opinion of Sefer Yireim, is a reason why in most kehillos the time for lighting is 18 minutes before Shkia. And then there are some places where they do even more. In Yerushalayim, for example, the standard thing is to light 40 minutes before Shkia. But anyway, here we're talking about actual Ben HaShemoshes. So we're saying actual Ben HaShemoshes, you're already not allowed to eat or do malacha anyway, because those are obviously a suffix. But even during the time before that, so during the time before that, there was a mitzvah to add it, as we're going to learn on Amud Beis, how we know that there's a mitzvah to do that. But nevertheless, there's no lav even for breaking Yom Kippur during that time and doing malacha. So there's no azhara for Tosfos malacha. Also, Yochol lo yeh muzer al Tosfos malacha continues the Braisa. So okay, so far we've established that there's no lav and certainly no kodesh for doing malacha during Tosfos Yom Kippurim. What about Yochol lo yeh muzer al Tosfos malacha? So you would think now there's no iser lav on Tosfos malacha. Avo yeh muzer al Tosfos inui. Maybe there is a lav for failing to do inui during that Tosfos Yom Kippurim. So the answer is now. So and we don't have a pasuk to tell us otherwise. So now the answer is v'dinhu. Now we can make a kavah chomer to say that once we do that kavah chomer, once we go through the rest of the braisa, then we're going to see ultimately what we set out to prove, that there is a lab regarding doing malacha on Yom Kippur. So he says. So v'dinhu u'ma malacha shenehegas b'shabbosis v'yom tovim madach malacha, which is where Yom Kippur is like Shabbos in that regard. You can't do malacha on Yom Kippur. You can't do malacha on Shabbos or Yom Tov either. Einei muzher aleha. Yet during Tosfos Yom Kippurim, there's no azhara. We're saying the person is not that he's allowed to do malacha, but if he does, he's not over on a lav. Inui she'ena noyeg v'shabbosis v'yom tovim. Well, then inui, which is unique to Yom Kippur, it doesn't take place on Shabbos and Yom Tov. Ena din shelo yehi mozer olav. Isn't it a kavah chomer then that there's no azhara about doing that during Tosfos Yom Kippurim? So during Tosfos Yom Kippurim, if a person does eat or drink during that time, or if he does malacha during that time, he's over on an eser, but he's not over on any lav. So now. Continues the Braisa, Aval Azhara Inu Shoyem Atzma Lo Lamadnu. Now, so far, we don't have an Azhara. We don't have a warning in the Torah anywhere not to do Malacha on Yom Kippur itself. We've established that there's no lav on Malacha before Yom Kippur, during Tosfos Yom Kippurim. We established that there is there's no lav for Malacha during that time either. We established that there is a lav about Malacha, b'chol Malacha lo yisasu. We established that there's a chiyuv kares for Malacha, that there's a chiyuv kares for eating and drinking. What we're missing, the piece that we're missing, is a lav for eating and drinking, which is what we set out to for in the first place. Rish Lakish had told us that there isn't one because the Torah couldn't find a way to phrase it. And now the Braisa is saying, so ultimately, how do we learn that there is such a lav? So we do it as follows. So where are we? There's no azhara in the Torah for the inui of Yom Kippur itself. We didn't learn that. Minayin. So then where do we know that there is such a lav? And the answer is because now that we established that by malacha you have both a lav and kores, so now we could say like this: lo yoma onish for malacha. Really, it didn't have to say the punishment of kores by malacha itself, and we would have known automatically that a person who does malacha on Yom Kippur is chayav kores. The goma mi inui, because we would have in fact learned it by a kavachomer from inui. We would have said ma inui she'en enoig v'shabosas v'yam tovim onish kores madach inui, which is weaker because it applies only to Yom Kippur, not to Shabbos and Yom Tov, and still a person is chayav kores for doing it on Yom Kippur itself. Then we should figure malacha shenehegas v'shabosas v'yam tovim. Malacha, which is in effect, the issue of it is in effect on Shabbos and Yom Tov as well, like kol shekein. How much more so than that if a person does malacha on Yom Kippur, he should be chayiv kares. So lama nemar, therefore, why does it say a lav by doing malacha on Yom Kippur? It must be mufna, that lav is therefore available lahakish for Lord and Menach Zeta Shava. That therefore now we're able to compare with it. We're able to find another place we have a similar lav and learn Zeta Shava. Or actually, not that we're learning a similar lab. Well, we are, but not that another pasuk has the explicit lab, but that we're going to use the Gzeira Shava to apply what it says by Malacha to what it says by eating and drinking. So therefore, so Nema Onish be Inui and Nema Onish be Malacha. Both them, the Inui and the Malacha, by both of them, it says that the person is Chayiv Kardes for doing it. Therefore, we can learn from the Gzeira Shava, Ma Malacha like Onash Eliyim Kain Hezir. Just like by the Malacha, we're giving him Hashem is giving him the punishment. He's Chayiv Kardes only if, and it has to be that he was warned before that. The usual rule is Ein Onish Eliyim Kain Mazirin. So the same thing by the Inui. In order for us, in order for Hashem to say that there's a punishment, there must be a warning as well. And the warning is we're learning from this. So we have a combination of a Kavachomer and a Gzeder Shava. The Kavachomer tells us that the word is Mufna, and the Gzeder Shava tells us what to actually do with it. Now there is something the Gemara mentions elsewhere, a machloikas, whether Oinshin Min Adin. Can a person be punished with something based on a Kavachomer, or is that not a valid basis for a person to get a punishment? So all Gemara over here, one possibility is all Gemara is going according to the opinion that Oinshin Min Adin. The other possibility is all Gemara is not going according to that opinion, but over here, since we're not really, we are saying that there is a Gzeira Shava, and a Gzeira Shava, fine, you can have an Azhara based on that. We're only using the Kavachomer in order to establish that the word is Mufne for the Gzeira Shava. So therefore, according to that, that would be fine, and we can learn it that way, and we can have the Gzeira Shava and learn the lav that way. So that's according to the Braisa, how we're learning that there's a lav on eating and drinking on Yom Kippur, even though it doesn't say so in so many words. So the question now becomes, the question is, the Gemara says, Ikala Mifra. We can slug up that Kavachomer. And if we slug up that Kavachomer, then we don't have a basis for saying that the Onish by Malacha is Mufna. And then how you're learning from it to the Onish of, to Inui. You could slug it up. Mala Inui Shalai Hotra Miklalai. Inui, there's no exception to it. There's nobody, you have to have a person who is Pekorach Nefesh where he's allowed to eat on Yom Kippur, but fine, that has nothing to do with the dinim of Yom Kippur per se. That's a din, that's the fact that a separate mitzvah, V'chai Bahem, comes and overrides Yom Kippur. But Yom Kippur itself, there's no exception. Everybody has to fast on Yom Kippur, so there's no exception. How do you compare that to a Malacha where you do have an exception? After all, the malachas that are done for the korbanos on Yom Kippur. We just went through 7 prakim of the Masechta where we talked about a lot of malachas that are being done in order to do the avodah of Yom Kippur. They're shechting animals. They're carrying things from one place to another. They're doing all kinds of other. They're stripping off the skin. They're doing a whole bunch of different malachas, and they're all allowed because the Torah tells us to do the avodah on Yom Kippur. So malacha, there's many exceptions to the rule. As opposed to Inui, there's no exceptions. Everybody who, unless it's a matter of Pekuach Nefesh, where Pekuach Nefesh, Doicha, Kol HaTorah Kulo, so that's a different case that has nothing to do with the Dinim of Yom Kippur, then we see that the Inui, there's no exception. So maybe, so that breaks down our whole Kavachomer. Maybe, in fact, it's true that Inui applies only to Yom Kippur and not Shabbos and Yom Tov, but on the other hand, maybe it's more Chomer because of the fact that there's no exceptions to it. So once we say that, then we don't have a basis for the Kavachomer, and no Kavachomer means no Gzeira Shava. So we're back to how do we have a lav for not eating on Yom Kippur? Ella, you're right. We have to learn it a little differently. Lo yomer oinish be'inui d'gama malacha. Let's say the other way around. It didn't have to say kares by inui, that a person who eats on Yom Kippur gets kares, because we could have learned the other way around. D'gama malacha. We could have learned it from malacha. Ma malacha shahutra miklala onish kares. Madach malacha, which is weaker because there are many exceptions to it. And yet, a person who is not doing one of those exceptions is chayev kares for doing malacha on Yom Kippur. Inui shalei hutim mikolai. So then, Inui, where there's no exception, loy koshkin. How much more so? So again, we can say lomanemar. So why does it say an onish? Why does it say kodesh by eating and drinking? Again, you can say mufne, that that word is available lahakish v'lod in men, gzeder shava, in order to compare to it and make gzeder shava. Nema onish b'inui v'nema onish b'malacha. So now we're doing the other way around. We're going from inui to malacha. And ma malacha onash v'hizir. Just like by malacha, it's clear the Torah is telling us a warning, don't do it, v'cho malacha leisasu, and a punishment that the person gets kodesh. So the af inui onash v'hizir, the same thing by inui. Also, if there's an onash, then there must be an azhara, and that azhara we're learning out again from that zera shava. The problem is that then we're back to the original thing, ikalim mifrach. We can slug up the kavachomer in that direction as well, because we can say malam alocha shekain nehegas v'shabasas yam tovim tovim v'inu she'en neig v'shabasas yam tovim. Because after all, like we said originally, malocha on the face of it is weaker because it takes place only on inui, rather, we said is weaker, because even though on the one hand inui is stronger, we're arguing because there's no exception to it, but on the other hand it takes place only on Yom Kippur as compared to Malacha, which takes place on which is also on Shabbos and Yom Tov as well. So whichever way we're going to learn the Kavach Chomer, it seems like we can break it down. So the answer is Omer Ravina. So Ravina says actually what it is Hai Tana etzem gomar. Actually, what it is the Tana is not really using the Gzeder Shava from the punishment at all. Really, what it is he's learning from the fact that you have a different Gzeder Shava, the fact that it says Etzem by both of them, by both the eating and the Malacha. It says you're not allowed to do that. Etzem, it says that the Kikol Nefesh Asher Lo Seuna Etzem Ayim Azeh, and by Malacha V'Chol Nefesh Atasa Kol Malacha Etzem Ayim Azeh. So that's really the Gzeder Shava that we're learning. That teaches us that there's an azhara for one, and therefore there's an azhara for the one as well, for the other one as well. So therefore, we're not actually learning it from the onish, because you're right. If we were to learn it from the onish, then one way or the other, we're going to be able to break down the kavach chomer. So the Gemara points out, in that case, mufna, necessarily that means we have to say that the words be'etzem ayim azeh are extra, that we're not actually using them to learn something in the simple meaning of the pasuk. Otherwise, the Eloi Mufna, Ikla Mifra, Kiripachinan. Because if it's not Mufna, then we'd be able to slug it up. There is a machloikas in a few places in Shas when we have a Gzeder Shava. So now, if the Gzeder Shava is Mufna, Mishneitz Dodin, if both ends of it are Mufna, and in both ends of it, you have the word was unnecessary, we could have understood what the Pasuk is telling us without it, then we say, L'meidin v'ein m'shivin, you can learn such a kavachomer, such a gzeder shava, and there's no way of breaking it down, even if you find that one thing is chomer than the other. Then you have where it's mufna mitzad echad, where it's mufna only on one end, the other end, the word is needed for the meaning of the pasuk itself, for example, to tell us the actual din, and the other one is mufna. Then there's a machloikas in various places in Shas, whether you also can't shlug that up, or whether at least that one you could shlug up if you find that one of them is stronger than the other. And then you have one, which is not mufna at all, where you have one opinion that you can't even learn such a gzeder shava, and the other one that says that you could learn it, but you can slug it up. So over here, we're saying, in order to say that it should be a strong enough Zeta Shava, so according to one opinion, it's going to be Mufna from both ends, and according to the other opinion, it's going to need to be Mufna at least at one end. So because otherwise, Ikala Mifrach could have Hachinan, because otherwise we can slug it up like we just did. So like Moses Loye, as a matter of fact, yes, Afnuye Mufna. Yes, we can show how the word Etzem is Mufna, how it's available. Because when you think about it, the Chamisha Kroi Ksivi B'Malacha. There are five places where the Torah says not to do Malacha. And by each one of them, by many of them, it says the word Etzem. So you have in Achrimos, so between Achrimos and Ach Ba'aser in Parshas Emor, between them you have five times when it says not to do Malacha. Or that there's kodesh for malacha. Kichol nefesh asher v'chol malacha lo yisatzu be'etzem ayim hazeh. A couple of psukim later, v'chol nefesh asher hasakol malacha. And in between, you have kichol nefesh asher lo yisuna, which is talking about inui, and you have another one v'yinisim es nafshas seichem kol malacha lo yisatzu. So altogether, you have five different ones where it says five just by malacha alone. There's five times where the Torah says not to do malacha. Forgetting even about inui for a second, just malacha alone, there are five times.
Therefore, chadlas haradimama. So we use them as follows. One of them teaches us that by day you're not allowed to do malacha. Vechadlas haradaleoya. Another one is needed to tell us that by night you can't do malacha either. Now, Tosfos Hashanim wonders. I mean, so does that mean every other time? Does that mean by Shabbos and Yom Tov as well? We need a separate. We need a separate limud to say that you're going to that you're not allowed to do malacha by night. Why only by Yom Kippur do they need that? And then Mefoshim give a couple of reasons why by Yom Kippur, even if we say by Shabbos and Yom Tov, you shouldn't need to. Why on Yom Kippur you would. One reason that's given is because since after all by Yom Kippur, unlike by Shabbos and Yom Tov, the Torah does use the expression be'etzem hayom hazeh. So therefore, you're going to say that be'etzem hayom hazeh means in the strength of the day, only during the daytime. In fact, in other places in the Torah, when it says be'etzem hayom hazeh, it literally means in the middle of the day. Rashi brings it, for example, in Parshas Noach and in Parshas Hazinu, that when it says by Noach that he should come into the Teva, that then be'etzem hayom hazeh, came into the Teva, means in the middle of the day where the goyim, the other people over there are thinking that we're not going to allow him into the Teva, and Hashem says he's going to go in b'chatzi hayom and nobody's going to be able to stop him. And the same way by Yetzias Mitzrayim that took place in the middle of the day, and the same way when Moshe goes up to Har Nevoah. So usually be'etzem hayom hazeh means in the middle of the day. So here, since it says that, we might have thought only during the daytime is it also to do malacha. Therefore, the Torah had to give us a special limud to say that it's by night as well. Another point is also, some of the Mefarshim say, is because after all, the Pasuk says that the purpose of all this is l'chaper aleichem, to accomplish a kapara for you. Well, the kapara of Yom Kippur, all the avodah of Yom Kippur, as we've learned in the previous parakim, takes place only by day, not by night. So you would have thought, therefore, that by night it doesn't apply, and therefore you need a separate azhara for the night. So far that's two. One for an azhara for the day, one for an azhara for the night. V'chad la'onish di imam, v'chad la'onish di leoya. Another one of the five teaches us that there's an onish for doing it by day, and another one for that there's an onish for doing that's kodesh for doing malacha by night. And then v'chad la'afnuye, then we have one more be'etzem, which is left over, which is mufna. And l'migma inu m'malacha, ben di imam, ben di leoya. Once we have that fifth one, then we're able to make the gzeira shava to inui, where it also says be'etzem hayom hazeh, and say that the same kind of lav applies to inui as it does to malacha, and that just like malacha, the issu applies by day and by night. So it is also with inui. So now that we've gone through the Braisa and analyzed it, that's how the Braisa is telling us that we're learning that there's a lav for inui on Yom Kippur. Ultimately, what we're saying is we're learning it from a gzeira shava on the word etzem, where we have the word etzem as mufna, and that's good enough. And that's good enough for our purposes. The Gemara didn't even ask about the etzem, the etzem ayam hazeh, that it says about eating, because again, there's no particular reason it needed to say that. It could have said that anybody who doesn't. It's interesting, by the way, the Rambam just in Peter and the Rambam in Sefer HaMitzvos and in the introduction to Yad HaChazaka just says flat out that the Isser lav of eating on Yom Kippur comes from the fact that Shelo Yisa'una. He doesn't go through this whole rigmarole over here of working through the Gzeira Shava and showing how we learn it from the Gzeira Shava. He just learns it from Shelo Yisa'una, and he just says generically, since the Torah tells us that if a person is loy sa'una, then they get kares. And we know that ain on loy onash aleim kain hizir, that whenever there's a penalty in the Torah, it always means there's an azhara. So therefore, he would have to be in that way as well. And he doesn't go into all the details of how exactly we learn it. That we have only in our Gemara over here. The Gemara continues, Dvei Rabbi Shmuel Tana. In the yeshiva of Rabbi Shmuel, they had a different way of learning that there's a lav on eating on Yom Kippur. They said that we learn a different Gzeira Shava. Nema kan inui, even nema lahalan inui. Here it says inui, it says the nisim es nafshe seichem. You have on the other, in a different place in Torah where it says inui, namely when it talks about eshes ish. The expression in the Torah is that if a man rapes a naira amarosa, then he gets skila al dvarash inos eshes reehu, because he afflicted his friend's wife. So therefore, malahalam le'onash aleim ken hizir. So just like by that kind of affliction, there is an azhara, the Torah says loisina, and there's a penalty, the Torah says that he's chayiv skila for it. So the same way, afkan le'onash aleim ken hizir. So the Gzeira Shava teaches us that here also, when there's an onash, automatically there's an azhara as well, even though it didn't say explicitly in the pasuk. Rav Acha by Yaakov Omar, Rav Acha by Yaakov says a third way of learning it. Yalav Shabbos Shabbosin, Shabbos Bereshis. We have another Gzeirah Shavah. It says the word Shabbos Shabbosin by Yom Kippur, Shabbos Shabbosin Yilachem, V'yinisim Es Nafshaseichem. It also says Shabbos Shabbosin by Shabbos. So therefore, Shabbos Bereshis, the other way, doesn't mean like we use it nowadays. The Shabbos, when we read Parashas Bereshis, it means the Shabbos that was established at Ma'aseh Bereshis, as opposed to, you have, we know, for example, when the Torah says Mimachras HaShabbos, then it doesn't mean Shabbos, it means Yom Tov. So therefore, when the Gemara wants to talk about Shabbos, the weekly Shabbos, by contrast with Yom Tov and whatever, so sometimes it calls it Shabbos Bereshis. So therefore, again, malahal on onashalim ken hizir. There you have an azhara, loy sasakol malacha, and a penalty that the Torah says kaloisa by malacha yumas. Afkan loy onashalim ken hizir. The same way from the gzera shava on the word Shabbos Shabbosin, we're going to learn that the same thing is true over here, that there is an azhara, and even though it's not explicitly stated in the Torah, just like there is a penalty that explicitly says in the Torah. Hey, Rapapa Omer, Rapapa has yet another way of learning it. Who goof? You don't even need the Gzeirah Shavah, says your papa. Who goof is Shabbos Ikri? Yom Kippur itself is called Shabbos in the Pasuk. Ichtib Tish Basu Shabbatchem. The Pasuk says you should rest your Shabbos. So Yom Kippur itself is called a Shabbos. So you don't even need a Gzeirah Shavah, says your papa. Once we say that Yom Kippur itself is called Shabbos, then you don't even need a Gzeirah Shavah. Shabbos itself is. There's a lav on malacha, and there's a punishment for malacha. So the same thing by Yom Kippur, there's a lav as well as a punishment. So the Gemara says, now those last two, the Papa and Rav Acha by Yaakov, why do they not like each other's limudim? So the Papa like Omer Rav Acha by Yaakov, because he says he would rather learn from a pasuk that it says regarding Yom Kippur itself. Rav Acha by Yaakov's limud requires us to take the Shabbos Shabbosin from here, from Yom Kippur, and the Shabbos Shabbosin from Shabbos, and combine them together. And Rav Papa says if we have a pasuk that we can learn within Yom Kippur itself, we would rather do that. El Rav Acha by Yaakov, my time alei omak Rav Papa. Why the other way around? What does Rav Acha by Yaakov have a problem with Rav Papa's drosha from Shabbos Shabbosin? The answer is because mi boiler the chiditani. Because Rav Acha by Yaakov would say, we don't have the word Tish B'Shu Shabbatchem available to teach us that din. We need to learn a different thing from that. The Pasuk says, V'inissim Esnaf Shaseichem B'Sisha L'Chodesh. The Pasuk says you should afflict your soul on the 9th of the month. Now, what do you mean the 9th? The Yom Kippur is on the 10th. Yochol Yaskolis Ana B'Tisha. You would think that means that you actually start fasting on the 9th of Tishrei. No, Tamad Lema, but Erev. Therefore, the Pasuk continues. Therefore, the pasuk continues that it's not on the 9th, it's Ba'erev in the evening, meaning when it's already the 10th. Well, I Ba'erev Yacham Ushtachshak, the word Ba'erev then might mean only after it gets dark. So, Talmud Lema B'Tisha, the fact is it does say on the 9th. So, how do we reconcile it? Does the fast of Yom Kippur begin on the 9th, or does it begin on the night of the 10th? So, Maschol Masanim of Oyoyim, you have to start fasting while it's still daylight on the 9th. This is where we learn. We were talking about Omer Aleph, the concept of Tosfos Yom Kippurim. This is where we learn it from the fact that the Torah says the 9th and implying that a certain part of the fast of Yom Kippur is supposed to begin on the 9th of Tishrei. So from here we learn that you have to be moisif mechol al kodesh. The aim the elabik nisos. So now, so far we would only know that applies at the beginning of Shabbos Yom Kippur. Bitziosim, or we don't even know about Shabbos yet. We're going to get to that in a minute. We would only know that the beginning of Yom Kippur, you have to add a certain amount of time. Bitziosim minayin. How do we know when Yom Kippur ends? You also have to have a tosfos Yom Kippurim. Tamad lema me erev ad erev. Therefore, the pasuk says from evening to evening. Therefore it says from evening to evening, and therefore we learn from that. That it means you have to add a little bit in the evening of the following day. The aim the Yom Kippurim. Now we would only know that applies to Yom Kippur. Yomim Tovim Minayin. How do we know the same thing applies to Yomim Tovim? There's a different girsa on the side over here that says the other way around. First we're going to learn Shabbos, then we're going to learn Yom Tov. Whatever. How do we know the next one? Tamar Lema Tishbasu. Therefore, the pasuk says Tishbasu, which is extra, and therefore teaches us that this concept applies to Shabbos as well. Ve'en li ela Yom Tovim Shabbos es Minayin. We would only know that applies to Yom Tov. How do we know also Shabbos? Or the other way around, we would only know it applies to Shabbos. How do we know it applies to Yom Tov? That you have to be Moisif Mechol al Kodesh. Tamar Lema Shabbatchem. Therefore, the pasuk says your Shabbos, implying every time you have something which is considered a Shabbos, and Yom Tov, we said, is considered a Shabbos as well. Mimachos a Shabbos, for example. Therefore, yes, you have to add to it. Hokates. So what does that mean? Wherever the Torah says rest on a certain day, then it means you have to add from the Chol to the Kodesh. And so ultimately, so therefore, Rav Acha bar Yaakov says, we have to learn from those words, Tish Besu Shabbatchem, we have to learn that din. Therefore, we don't have the word Tish Besu Shabbatchem to teach us that Yom Kippur is like Shabbos in that regard, and that if there's an Oynish for eating and drinking on Yom Kippur, there must be an Azhara as well. Rather, therefore, we have to learn it from Gzeirah Shavah on the word Shabbos Shabbosim. Rashi points out, now Rav Acha bar Yaakov cannot say that you cannot learn, that you can learn it from the actual words Shabbos Shabbosim themselves without needing the Gzeirah Shavah, because we said at the beginning of the parak, we need Shabbos Shabbosim Bechlal to teach us that Yom Kippur is a time to rest from certain activities. That's where we learned to begin with, that we said that how do we know that Yinurim of Yom Kippur are passive things rather than active? Oh no, actually that was, we said we learned from Malacha. But in general, we learned at the beginning of the parak, we talked about that since it says Shabbos Shabbosim, then it means that there are various things that we have to abstain from on Yom Kippur. So we don't have that available to teach us to teach us anything about the Azhara. Or Rashi says another possibility, when it says Shabbos Shabbos and He, it doesn't mean that Yom Kippur itself is called Shabbos. It means that there's a day of resting from certain activities. When it says Shabbos Shabbos and Hu, the same thing Rashi says. Also, when it says Shabbos Shabbos and Hu, it doesn't mean that the Shabbos itself. It goes on the melacha that you're not doing at that time. So therefore, sort of Acha bar Yaakov would have to learn from the word Tish B'Shu Shabbatchem, and he's, and so does Rav Papa. But Rav Acha bar Yaakov says if we tried to learn it from Tish B'Shu Shabbatchem, we'd run up into the fact that we're using those words to teach us a different din. Therefore, instead, we have to learn it from a Gzeira Shava on the word Shabbos Shabbosim, not the simple meaning of the words Shabbos Shabbosim themselves, because as we're saying, that doesn't apply to Yom Kippur or to Shabbos itself, but rather that we're learning from a Gzeira Shava on those words. So the Gemara asks, "Vatana de etzem etzem." Now we said on Amud Aleph that there was a brisa that learned from the Gzeira Shava on the word etzem that there's an azhara for eating and drinking on Yom Kippur. So according to him, "Hi v'sisha l'chodesh my ovedle." According to him, what is he doing with the words v'sisha l'chodesh? Because according to him, what does one have to do with the other? Rashi explains. Once we said that in the first braisa on Amud Aleph, the long braisa over there, we said that originally we started by asking how we know that there's no azhara and no onish for malacha or for eating and drinking during Tosfos Yom Kippurim, and we explained how we learned that there isn't. But the very fact that Tana thought that there could be a lav on it or maybe even kodesh on it shows that obviously there has to be Tosfos Shabbos. So he doesn't need a different pasuk to teach us about Tosfos Shabbos or Tosfos Yom Kippurim. So what is he doing with the word v'sisha l'chodesh, which according to him implicitly, the very fact that the Torah had to tell us there's no lav and no kores for malacha or eating and drinking during that time of Tosfos Yom Kippurim shows that there must be such a thing as Tosfos Yom Kippurim. So according to him, you don't need a separate pasuk. So what are we doing with the word v'sisha l'chodesh? The answer is mibayla l'chidatoni chiyah barav midikli. He would use it to teach us. That Tana would use the words B'sisha L'chodesh to teach us what Chiyah Barav Midifti taught in a braisa. The Tony Chiyah Barav Midifti, when the Pasuk says V'inisim Esnafshasechem B'sisha, you should afflict yourselves on the ninth. So what do you mean the ninth? V'chi B'sisha Misanin? Do you fast on the ninth? V'alei Ba'osa Misanin? When do you fast? Is on the tenth. Ela Loi Malach. So it teaches you Kol Ha'ochel B'shoyse V'chi. When a person eats or drinks on the, and a person eats and drinks on the ninth of Tishrei, and Mala all of our cause of Kilisan of Shiva City, the Pasuk gives him credit as if he fasted on both the ninth and the tenth. Now you're not actually allowed to fast on the ninth, but in other words, the Pasuk considers it as though he has the credit for fasting on both days. So in other words, because since the Pasuk has Vinissim is not Shasechem, so even though physically he's eating, we're considering it already part of the inu. Now what's the greatness of that? So there are a number of times, especially during the bracha on Erev Yom Kippur, when the Rebbe talked about the idea that we see from that, that therefore you have the idea is ninth, when you're eating and drinking the Sodom of Sefas on Erev Yom Kippur, you're having the milus of both. You're having that on the one hand, you eat, you're physically eating and drinking, and being, and then you're physically eating and drinking, and you're also at the same time already accomplishing the avodah of Yom Kippur by that. In fact, the Rebbe said, therefore, the pasuk says, mala olav akosu. Usually the word mala olav just means the pasuk considers it. But literally what it means is here, the pasuk is bringing the person up to the higher level, meaning that on the ninth, when he's eating the Sodom of Sefas, already he's on the higher level of Yom Kippur. There's a couple of explanations among the Rishonim. What's the greatness of eating on the ninth? Why it is that the Torah gives a person so much credit for that? And one reason, the Shibboleth Halakhot, an important sefer of halacha from the Rishonim, brings a reason that like this you have in a way it makes the inu Yom Kippur much greater. You've just been eating and drinking sumptuously. All of a sudden now you have to start fasting. That kind of change is very hard on the body. So therefore, when the person does that, he eats and drinks a lot on Erev Yom Kippur, and then all of a sudden, come Yom Kippur, bang, everything's closed, and he has to start fasting. That makes things much more difficult for him, and therefore the Torah gives him extra credit for that. Another explanation is the Torah explains b'chlal, the inyan of eating and drinking on Erev Yom Kippur is that we have confidence that Hashem will, that if we do proper tshuva, that Hashem will forgive us our averus. And the Torah brings in that connection the famous story of the Jewish tailor who bid on the last fish in the marketplace, and he wanted it for his Erev Yom Kippur soda, and meanwhile the slave of a Roman official or a Roman nobleman wanted to buy it for his master, and eventually the Yid bid his entire fortune, 12 gold coins on it. And later on, when they bring him in front of the nobleman to explain himself, he tells him that we eat and drink on Erev Yom Kippur in order to show our confidence that if we do tshuva properly, Hashem will forgive us, and therefore we're celebrating that on Erev Yom Kippur, and therefore, according to that, that would be a reason why when the person eats and drinks on the ninth, why Hashem gives us so much credit, because it shows that he has that bitachon in Hashem. Okay. The Mishnah said, "Ochol oichlin she'en." So the bottom line is, so everybody agrees there is Tosfos Yom Kippurim, although the Gemara elsewhere mentions that since it doesn't say explicitly in the Pasuk, that if a person is not going to keep Tosfos Yom Kippurim, we're not obligated to give him Musar about it. Because then we say, Mutav Yushagin Ba'al Yumazidin. Better let him do it by mistake, rather than that they're doing it on purpose, because either way, they're not going to listen to us. So therefore, there is a mitzvah of Tosfos Yom Kippurim. Again, one Tana is learning it from Besisha L'Chodesh Be'erev. The other one is learning it from implicitly from the fact that the Torah has to tell us that there's no lav and no koris on eating or doing malacha during that time, implying that time does exist. And that's that. Meanwhile, as far as the lab for not eating on Yom Kippur, we said also there's a few different ways of learning it. Are we learning it from the Gzeder Shava of the word etzem? Are we learning it from the Gzeder Shava of the word Shabbos Shabbosin? Are we learning it from the Gzeder of the word inui? Or are we learning it just from the fact that the Pasuk says by Yom Kippur itself, Tishvisu Shabbat? Fine. Okay, so we'll stop over here and we'll continue tomorrow, Baruch Hashem.
Shkeach.
Yeah.